Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome to Onceable episode 111, where we're going to be talking about Once Upon a Time season 6 episode 18, Where Bluebirds Fly. I'm Brittany, and tonight I'm joined by our co-hosts Karen and Kristen. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
As always, if you want to get in touch with us about this episode of Once Upon a Time or any episode of Once Upon a Time, you can hit us up on Twitter at Onceable or comment on this post at hypeable.com. Let's kick it off with a thumbs up, thumbs down for Where Bluebirds Fly. Let's go with Kristen.
We'll do like thumbs sideways. This was a very like quotable, fun episode some of the time, and the rest of the time it was kind of annoying and the flashback was kind of weird. So yeah, sideways.
How about you, Karen?
I am going to give it a thumbs up only because I hated last week so much. I wasn't on, obviously, so I caught up on it tonight, and I turned to Kristen, and I was like, there are at least four instances in this episode where, like, everything is so incredibly obviously contrived that it was driving me crazy. So in comparison to last week, this one was pretty great, so it's getting a thumbs up.
And we wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said about last week. So you're in the right company. And I'm going to give this a thumb sideways, mainly because if we were using like our old like Rumple scale, but like where we took, if we took out all the Rumple stuff, like then we graded the episode, like if we took out all the Zelina stuff and then graded the episode, it would be a thumbs up. But thumb sideways, her storyline, especially just like how long it took to get to the heart of her storyline, was kind of tedious and wasn't keeping my interest. So I think they could have balanced it out with a few more fun wedding side ventures and not as much Zelina self-pity sessions, because we've seen it before and I probably still would have felt the same at the outcome, even if we didn't have that much Zelina content going at the beginning. Before we start talking about Zelina too much, though, let's get into our favorite quotes. And like Kristen was saying, this was a very quotable episode. So let's go straight to Kristen to kick it off.
Sure. Yeah. Mine comes from basically that opening scene with Emma and Hook, and it's Snow walks in and they're talking about what they're doing. And she goes, pancakes. Right. Maybe I should come back after you've had pancakes.
Love it. That whole moment was so great. And like right before that, Hook's like, your mother has a key. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Karen, what was yours?
I think we should go for yours next.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's right there. And also, this was actually my favorite, so yeah, we should get lots of time.
You got the best one.
I wrote this down as soon as it happened in the doc, because I was like, nope, I'm getting this one. So, and I wish I had a DVR to like triple check it, but I'm pretty sure that this is what happened, and I cannot believe it was said, but he was kind of mumbling it as he walked away. So mine happens right after Kristen's, where Snow is like, no, have your pancakes. I'll come back later. And he's like, don't worry, I've lost my appetite. And then as he's walking away, he's like, I have to go have a quick embracing shower. Oh, and he gosh. Just like excuses himself and goes upstairs. And I was like, oh my God,
it's so this is amazing. Great. So great. Sigh.
It's just such a nice, lighthearted, mm-hmm. like thing that's so wonderful to have in the episode. And it's just a zero stakes moment, which, well, yeah. it just felt relaxing. Like I, mm-hmm. even if there are problems with like Hook and Emma's relationship, it's just so nice just to have like some moment of simple, like domestic bliss. I don't even care who it comes from at this point. It's just nice to not feel so much pressure and anger. Mm-hmm. But Karen, what was your quote?
Mine's a little bit later, outside of the bigger venue, when Charming and Snow are kind of having their discussion. And Snow just goes, that ship has sailed and there's a pirate on it. It's just so perfect. It's a great metaphor and obviously very accurate. But yeah, it was It was great. And I'm glad that wasn't actually the problem that David was having. I didn't think it was, because obviously, like, he's accepted it. He's accepted it for a little while now. And, yeah, he was having his own issues, which I'm sure we will talk about, but it was nice nonetheless.
Yeah, actually, let's go right into that, because that's the moment that I wanted to talk about anyway, was just this whole ongoing side plot of Snow and David kind of bickering to make their princess's magical day the best it can be. And it was so adorable. I even wrote this before we got to the end of the episode, because I was just like, this is like just so adorable and cute to watch. It doesn't feel as creepy as some of the other stuff has with, like, you know, having parents who are the same age as you. For some reason, they've just felt older in this moment. And I don't know what it was. And it was just adorable to watch them looking at venues and, like, canceling them out. Snow's trying to pitch the diner and with the jukebox. And he's like, no, absolutely not. I've had some bad memories here and we're not doing this. And they go to, like, the bigger venue and he's still unhappy.
I knew he was going to bring up Whale again. I knew it. I felt it in my bones and I was so ready for it.
Yeah. I forgot all about that. And then I was like, oh, wow, that's sticking with you, huh? I guess so. And then I also, like, enjoyed where they're at the bigger venue and he was getting so flustered and he's just like, can we get everyone to the Enchanted Forest? Like, that would be wonderful and perfect. And he's just really trying to create the best day possible for his daughter. And he doesn't want it to be clouded by an event such as the Evil Queen barging in and trying to ruin everything. And I think that that's just so sweet, because he brings up the fact that marrying Snow was, like, the greatest day of his life, and it was tainted by something. And, you know, when they gave birth to Emma, it was tainted by something. So all of their big milestone moments have had this looming threat that is just it's just unresolved. And so he doesn't want that in the way of Emma's happiness, and he doesn't want to have a black cloud hanging outside, which literally could happen because apparently the Black Fairy uses a lot of black cloud magic. So I thought that was just so adorable.
Yeah, I really loved it. I mean, it was kind of annoying at first, because I was like, David, what is your problem? I know you don't actually have a problem with this wedding. But when they actually discussed it, I was like, you know what? That's a really good point. Like, I loved it that he was like, look, marrying you is the best day of my life, but it was also the worst day of my life because I lost everything in that same moment. And that very well could happen with Emma. And he doesn't want that for his daughter. And I even really enjoyed how Emma was like, look, we're in love. Like, nothing's going to change that. Yeah, we could get married now, but it could be like the shortest marriage in history because, you know, what happens? Them getting married doesn't change anything. It's just a status. It's just a title. They're in love and that's all that really matters. So when they get through this, they can have that day where it's just hopefully magical in the lightest sense of the word and nothing goes wrong. Or like, if what goes wrong, it's like somebody ordered the wrong cake, or Grumpy, you know, is allergic to strawberries and somebody has to take him to the hospital. And then there's the awkward moment between Whale and Snow again. And, you know, like something like that. I hope it's a really lighthearted one.
I mean, considering it's going to be a musical, it would be strange if it was like really dark.
Yeah.
Like, they can go the Grey's Anatomy route and make it really dramatic and serious, but it would feel kind of weird, especially on this show. No, yeah, I basically just loved Snow and David. Like, they're both trying to give her the thing that they know she wants, but they're going about it so differently, and just they're always like on the same page. Like, more often than not, the Charmings are like a package deal and they always are like, yeah, you know, this is exactly what we need to do. And to see them like have such a difference of opinion on this was kind of nice, and like to see the family have a moment, even if it, you know, was in the middle of all this other, you know, Black Fairy drama, at least they got a chance to kind of just be a family and have a normal family squabble. And it was just kind of cute.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed when Snow, even though she crashed there, like, you know, pancake morning, she brought in this, like, giant book that she's, like, she's clearly been looking forward to this day forever. And it's full of ideas and flowers and, you know, dresses. And she's like, listen, I've only been engaged for, like, however long. And she's like, well, you know, like, I'm pretty sure there's, like, a picture of Neil crumpled up in the back and a picture of, you know, like, all the other men. Like, she's just sort of cast aside. In order to get this book put together, but it's something that she's been dreaming about forever. And she, like she was saying, she didn't get to have a lot of those moments with Emma when she was growing up. And so this is like one of those big moments that she knew she was going to be a part of. And it just made so much sense for the big family event. They want the whole family there and comfortable and, you know, just together and adorable. I did have one, like, weird, like, you know, questioning the science of Once Upon a Time moments where David was like, oh, forgot my wallet. And I was like, does anyone actually pay for anything in this town? Like, how does commerce work in Storybrooke? Because no one actually, like, can leave. So you can't, like, go to a real bank and keep money. I was like, don't stop reading into it. Back away, Brittany. Just let it happen.
And, like, do any of them actually have jobs anymore? Like,
yeah, I don't think so. I mean, besides Granny. Granny's, like, probably ready to kill everyone because she's like, I still got to cook for everyone and no one else does anything around here. Yeah, I just thought it was for some, like, Emma just, like, has that house. Like, I think it was just empty and she's like, well, all right, this is mine now. It's fully furnished.
Claiming this. Yeah, just, like, walks in.
Yeah, so I'm like, no, that's too minor of a detail to deal with. There are bigger details to have issues with in this show. All right. That kind of goes right into, though, Karen's point about how Hook and Emma are grossly in love. I love how you wrote that.
I mean, it is kind of disgusting, but, like, I'm so here for it. I really like their relationship because it's been slow growing, but this kind of final push into the marriage and everything, I think they handled it pretty well. Like, they had a little misstep the last couple of weeks, but that was, I liked that Hook was like, yeah, I'm totally going to run away, except JK, I'm not. And then that was kind of taken out of his hands and he had to come back. I enjoy those outside forces complicating things rather than like miscommunication necessarily. Like, there was a little bit of that, to be fair, but he ultimately made the right decision and then somebody else interfered with that. And I think him getting back to her was really fulfilling. And I love that he was like, you know, I'm going to do this right. And he did, and everything's kind of happy. And they're not stressing about this wedding thing. I think they're finally in a place where they're like, everything is out on the table. We know everything about each other and we know each other's darkest secrets. We know each other's fears. We know that there's a possibility that this could end horrifically, but it doesn't matter because they love each other so much and whatever happens, happens. And they're gonna work through it the best that they can. And it's not, I don't think it's a perfect relationship. Like, they do have their issues, but lately it's been so strong and the writers haven't been using their relationship to complicate the show too often. And so I think that makes me much happier with it.
I agree. I've always been a Hook and Emma fan. I was a big Hook and Neil fan, which I am. a big Hook and Neil fan. I wanted them to have like a great romance, but for a while, like in the beginning, I thought it was like creepy and weird because he seemed like very territorial and I don't know. He just he kind of like rubbed me the wrong way when he was first introduced, but he's gotten so much better over time. And now that they're like fully together, it's just,
mm-hmm. The bickering and the beanstalk and all of that, like from the moment they met, like you just kind of felt the chemistry. Like it's been there the whole time, even when he was actually working with, you know, with Cora and doing all kinds of nefarious Captain Hook like things. Like they've always kind of had that chemistry, and I think that's one of the reasons why this pairing just works for me. Like it always has. I loved it from the moment they met, and I have been cheering for them all along. And it's so rare that the couples I like actually end up together that it's like, I've always been waiting for Once Upon a Time to be like, and nope, now it's time to yank them apart. So I'm glad that right now, it still seems like everything's kosher and happy. So,
and I was a huge Emma and Neil fan, like huge. And when Hook came into the picture, I was like, I like them too, but like my heart kind of belongs with Neil. And then that changed. Mm. And I think they did that really well, where like you didn't have to feel like one is right and one is wrong. And of course, like one's dead and the other one's not. So like clearly there's a winner here. But aside from that, like I think they handled that really well, and it makes me feel very good about loving Hook and Emma. And like you cannot deny their chemistry anyway, so it's easy to get behind it.
It is definitely now one of the staples of the show. So it's nice to just see that them, giving attention and doing all the wonderful loveliness that they can fit in when, the world isn't ending. So they're still finding moments to find happiness, which is good. But there was something else that happened in this episode, which took up easily 80% of the episode that we haven't been talking about, which is Zelina and the reason that, or not the reason, the fact that the show remembered that she exists and found a way to bring her really back into the fold. She's kind of just been living out in the farmhouse for this entire season and she hasn't really been a huge part of anything. Even when the Evil Queen was roaming around, like she would be visited every like 2 weeks or so, just as like a reminder that she was there. And then it was like, oh no, I'm totally not talking to her. Oh yes, I am talking to her. Oh no, I'm not. And she never really had a plot, but tonight she had two plots, one in Oz in a flashback and one in the present day. And Kristen, why don't you kick off our present day conversation with your point you want to bring up this week?
Okay. Yeah. As far as the flashback goes, I was not a huge fan, but the present day storyline, basically, like, I hate seeing her and Regina like drift back into contentious anger. Like every time they end up in the same room, it's like, guys, just figure it out. Like the whole sibling thing is still kind of new. Like, maybe they've known for what, a couple of months or something now in Once Upon a Time. But, I've been kind of waiting for them to actually push Zelina forward and like give her some growth, because she's had some little, tidbits of growth with Robin and with that sort of thing, but she just has kind of felt stagnant. And in this episode, now that she voluntarily gives up her power to correct her own mistake, like that is some serious character growth for her. Like she is willing to sacrifice her magic in order to undo this terrible thing that she did because she was trying to prove that she was better than everyone and that she was more powerful. That alone is incredibly cool. But now
are you taking notes? I know.
Like if this had been Rumpel's storyline, 3 seasons ago or 2 seasons ago, like then we wouldn't hate him as much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so now I'm just kind of curious, now that Zelina is powerless and won't have the magic as a contentious point between her and Regina, can they finally be sisters? Like they're not on an equal playing field anymore, but now it's like Zelina isn't a threat. She doesn't have magic where she can just, whisk away or, make something appear and cause all kinds of trouble. Is this now a point where they can kind of try to bond and be sisters?
I would love for that to happen. However, I feel like we haven't gotten enough of Zelina's character for me to put too much faith behind that happening, because I feel like it's going to, that's going to constantly be their topic of conversation. It was like, if you only have like a friend who you met and you talked about one thing and that's what you bonded over and you're still talking about that like 15 years later, this I feel like is going to be like, oh, well, it's not like I can just poof myself out of here and go change my clothes. Like, you know, I feel like that's it's just going to be like this underlying like grudge that she's going to carry because I don't know that she can let anything go yet. That's just her. That's just how it is in her character. I think these two stories that they had really highlighted that. But I am hopeful that it will change her in a way and allow her to be a more approachable and fun character because she was fun when she was absolutely wicked and just was really hellbent on, you know, going against every single person. And then the toying with the niceness was always where her character floundered. So I'm hoping that they can figure out a way to get her into a place where she's tolerable and not bitter about it.
Yeah, her giving up that power is huge. And I realized, like, we can never forget what Zelina did and how she came about getting Robin. I mean, that obviously is very wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think she has continuously, slowly, and sometimes, you know, two steps backwards, one step forward kind of thing, tried to work her way toward being good. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But in this case, she coming back the way that she did and saying, look, I admit what I did was foolish and arrogant. That must pain her down to her soul to admit, especially to Regina, who she's always had a rivalry with. And I love Regina so much, but it really bugs me sometimes the way that she continuously just casts Zelina aside. She's got every reason to do it. I will admit she does have her reasons, but the fact that she is sometimes willing to give her the benefit of the doubt, but then is so quick to snatch that away, I think is really detrimental to the relationship that they both have and also to Zelina's confidence in becoming a better person. And so Zelina stepping up to the plate and saying, look, I'm going to do the thing that will pain me the most, aside from maybe giving up her daughter. I'm going to do that for you guys because that is the right thing to do. And part of me is kind of like, I wish that it didn't have to come to this for the others to realize Zelina can be good. Like sometimes it's nice to see them just go about it on faith, like a lot of people have done with Regina. I think a lot of people could still fear Regina because she is still very powerful, but they don't because they have faith that she is trying to be a better person. But considering what Zelina has done, kind of like what Rumpel has done, you kind of need that act to make people have the faith. And she did. She sacrificed her power and she saved the day and she put a huge pin in the Black Fairy's plan. And I really enjoyed seeing this play out. And I'm hoping that this is the final step for Zelina to become a better person if she doesn't necessarily have that magic, which is where all of her confidence and wickedness had come from. And I think it's a really interesting storyline, something that we haven't seen between Regina or Rumpel yet. Who are these people? Who are these villains when they don't have their powers? And I'm hoping we can explore that with Zelina a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, especially just exploring who these people are without their powers would be a really interesting, like, I get nervous now because it is episode 18. We're really charging towards the end here. And with this quote unquote reset that Eddie and Adam keep hinting at for season 7, it's like, you got to do a lot of legwork to meet all of our demands for the end of season 6, Once Upon a Time. But I do think that Zelina could be off in an interesting direction. And it goes on what both of you were saying. It's such an interesting place for this character to be in because we had this flashback where it was her and the Tin Man and she literally could not keep a friend. That was her huge thing. She always thought someone was trying to take advantage of her and someone was trying to manipulate her and someone was trying to get rid of her. And everyone always has an ulterior motive. And now that she doesn't have magic, the reason that they're keeping her around is because they actually like her and care about her and want to have her with them. So it'll be really interesting to see how the other characters interact with her. And I hope that they don't push this character aside, that they keep her around and find some utility for her in this final battle. Because I know that I'm jumping ahead, really far ahead here, but in the preview for next week, it's all about Emma trying to, God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, rally the troops and get Rumpel on board to come and fight his mother with the heroes. And so, you know, where does Zelina play into that mold? I don't want her to get lost in the shuffle of this final battle. And then it's like, oh, where's Zelina? I don't know. Ironing her green scarves, you know, like
babysitting Neil and Robin.
Yeah. Neil. Oh, poor Neil. God only knows what that kid is doing. Who knows? I think Granny adopted him. And they're just refusing to tell us.
Probably.
I do hope that we get a little bit more time with Zelina and that we figure out what her place is so that she either feels more comfortable and Regina can then begin to grow and work on her relationship with her sister. And as hard as it is, I would understandably be fine with Regina never speaking to Zelina again, because I think what she did was so horrible that I still can't believe she's an actual character on this show that we have to feel empathy for. But yeah, she's here and we're going to try to make the best of it.
Okay. Random sort of crack theory here.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
Your crack theory is the best.
It just kind of came to me and I'm like, maybe. Okay. So she just gave up all of her magic. She's going to go to the final battle. Like, she's going to be a part of it because they're not going to leave her out now. She made this huge sacrifice. They all believe in her. So she comes with them and somehow they separate the Black Fairy's magic from the Black Fairy. And rather than it being like dark magic, they realize that it's just magic. And the only reason it was dark is because she was dark. Mm. And they make the choice to give Zelina this power. Like, they give it back to her. So she has magic again, and they have now given her the trust in giving it to her. And so she feels like they believe in her, and then she's actually a part of the family. It would be really cute. Okay, crack theory. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, but I think that that's interesting. However, as interesting as it is, I'm also, like, really into this whole what can a character do without magic. I don't want it to be too easy. If she goes until the end of the season without it and then we figure this out, great. Because at least we'll get maybe a few scenes of her interacting without it and sort of like, you know, I think maybe then she'll feel like she earned it back. Not that she's like, it's not like she's like making amends and like figuring out how to earn her magic back, because that's not an option. She's just actually adjusting, because as of right now, she doesn't think she can ever get it back. So it's not like she's like, you know, trying to reach benchmarks, whereas we saw what happened once everyone kind of gave up trying to define like or meet the standard of what a hero meant. They all just sort of fell into their own comfort with what the word hero meant. So if she begins to like fall into the comfort of living without magic, then when it comes back, it's like a smoother transition instead of her manipulating situations in order to make herself get magic back, which would be something interesting for Once Upon a Time to do.
Agreed. We've had too many magical people like go in episode without their powers and then get them back. Mm-hmm. So it's like it hasn't been long enough for them to actually learn anything. So I'm definitely on board for her like not believe or totally believing that she does not have any way to get power back and learning to live without it. And then, you know, maybe the opportunity presents itself that she's able to regain her abilities and go from there. Like, that would be really cool.
Yeah. And I think that, like you were saying, like, we've had too many episodes. We had that whole thing with Rumpel, like, being a coward for, like what, 2 weeks last year, year and a half ago? Where it was just like, oh, he doesn't have magic. Oh, wait, he's the Dark One again. So yeah. It was, yeah, there was that. And he was a horrible person without powers. So hopefully she's a little bit better than he was. Let's talk about him just for a quick second. and then we'll wrap up this episode. So Rumpel is off, like, doing his own thing most of this episode. He's trying to figure out everything on his own. So his primary goal right now is just to wake up Blue, because she is old and knew the Black Fairy before she was evil, which blows a giant hole in the plot line or line that they had the Black Fairy say a few weeks ago, or last, might have even been last week, where she was just like, I created dark magic, or like, you know, I'm like, no, you were not born evil. You are a good human being. There's no inherent evil. You had to grow into it. Like, I think you brought that up, Kristen. It's like, no one is like born evil. Like, you have to develop that over time. So,
right. Yeah. It's only made. It's not born.
Yeah.
It's made.
Yeah. So she needs to cool it, but Blue will hold a lot of interesting details for us, because as the Black Fairy says at the end of this episode to Gideon, you know, well, she knows this one secret that Rumpel can never know, the reason why I gave him up. And it's like, dun dun dun, cut to black. What do we think that secret is? And will it actually be as traumatic as Emma makes it out to be in the promo, where she's just like, nothing is going to be as horrible as finding out why your mother gave you up. Will you like to join our team? I was like, what a pitch.
Once Upon a Time has not been too great with the shocking surprises of late. So I'm not thinking this is going to be as huge as it may seem.
Okay. If I had my way, first of all, the Black Fairy knows more about heroes and saviors mostly, then I would imagine she would. Like, Gideon left to get Emma's power and all of that, and he couldn't have learned that anywhere but with the Black Fairy. So clearly she knows a bit about saviors and has taught Gideon. So I'm wondering if maybe she was meant to be a savior in her time, like, before all of this. And she didn't want it because she saw her ending, or, you know, someone showed her future and she refused to accept it. And so rather than be a savior, she embraced the darkness and dark magic in every way, shape, and form. And she had to give him up in order to become as powerful and be the Black Fairy. So without giving up her son, she would have died or been the savior, and it would have ruined her life.
Like Karen was saying, there's not much shock that Once Upon a Time to do, and I'm pretty sure you just literally laid out the next week's episode, because I could see that happening 100%.
Like, I have no idea. I have not read spoilers, so I know nothing, but it could be. We'll see.
I really think that is exactly what's going to be, because then it's like, she started this whole trend of historical giving up your child for more powerness, because then Pan did it, and then, you know, like, Rumpel did it to Neil, and Rumpel did it again to Belle, and Rumpel did it again to Giddy. You know, it's like, there's tons of, it just makes sense. I mean, I'm hoping that it's not that, just for the sake of, like, maybe Once Upon a Time could do something, like, different, but it would totally make sense that is exactly what Once Upon a Time wants to do with that storyline. And I think that would be fair. It would be, you know, Rumpel versus... I really think that the final battle, I know it's Emma, but it's really going to boil down to, like, Rumpel getting behind Emma and backing Emma up. Which sucks, because I want Emma to take this on herself, but it's really a family issue, this whole thing.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I really want a fairy face-off next week. Like, I want to see the Blue Fairy in action. Damn it. Like, it makes me sad that she's been knocked out all season, because I really like her. And I feel like she could be a real powerhouse. And, like, I want to see her get involved in the story sometimes. But I just think it would be really great to watch them, like, go at it.
Yeah, that would be great. But next week's episode is Once Upon a Time, Season 6, Episode 19, The Black Fairy. So, yeah, that's who we're focusing on. We're going to get her backstory a bit more and talk about what she did in order to give up Rumpel. And then this is it. This is the final countdown. It's that episode, and then we're off to sing with the Once Upon a Time cast. So,
and get married.
Yeah, we're off to get married. And were you able to watch, because I know, Kristen, you said sometimes the DVR cuts it off, but they did a little, like, preview of the musical, like, just stills, like, not anything, like, no music or anything, but all the pirates were kind of lined up, and Hook was, like, back in his pirate garb, and I am really intrigued as to why that's a thing, and if the pirates are, like, backup dancers, I'm into it. Oh, maybe he has a bachelor party on the ship.
Oh, that would be cute. We did not see any of that. Like, we saw some of the trailer, but I don't think we saw that, did we?
Like, I saw, like, the logo.
Okay.
Like, with the hook.
Yeah, and the ring was on it.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't think we really saw anything else.
Yeah, there hasn't. The only other thing that came out literally right after this episode aired, I think every news outlet was like, bing, 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 check out my photo. No, check out my photo. We all have the same photo. Is Hook in his tux, and it's all black with a black tie, and it's very sharp. So if you want to check that out, you should.
I want to know if that's his, like, dress hook or if it's just his normal hook.
His dress hook. It was polished for the occasion,
right? Like that. Oh, Hook, he does look rather dapper and very lovely. It's cute.
All right, well, that wraps us up, and we'll be back to talk about the Black Fairy and prep for the musical episode. We're pretty sure we'll probably have a better preview of what we're getting heading into the big episode 20. So until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.